Pakistan's border with Afghanistan is closed to refugees, but in reality, Afghans stream across the border. Many avoid refugee villages and stay with relatives. Pakistani government policy doesn't classify these Afghans as refugees, and that's posing a challenge to aid agencies. NPR's Sarah Chase reports.
Khalil drives a yellow cab with beat-up seats and a pendant spelling the name of God in red calligraphy dangling from his rearview mirror. Every day he goes to the Afghan border to pick up refugees and drive them into Quetta. He chooses times when he knows the police aren't too strict about illegal refugees, around 6 in the morning, for example. He guesses 400 other cabbies do the same thing. He's got a Pakistani ID card tucked behind the sun visor to lend female refugees, and he's working on a fake one for men. Women are easier to help. For one thing, they're veiled, and since men outside the family aren't allowed to see their faces, they don't have pictures on their identity cards. Officially, the Pakistani border is closed, except to the most vulnerable refugees. But in practice, brickmaker Shawali, who arrived here 6 days ago, found something else.
If you bribe police officers or anyone here in Pakistan, you can bring anything from the border.
The UN Refugee Agency reckons some 100,000 Afghans have come to Pakistan since September 11th, but no one knows the precise number, says UNHCR spokesman Yusuf Hassan.
These are estimates. They're not really an accurate reflection of the number of people who are here, because many of the people who are coming in illegally, and they're subject to detention and deportation. So what they do is they come in quietly, they lie low, and they try to blend with the local community.
They've come to be known as the invisible refugees. Across the street from taxi driver Khalil's house, two widows from Kandahar and their families share one room with a tiny courtyard. There's no electricity or running water. One of their daughters, 16-year-old Rahima, carries buckets from a neighbor's house and empties them into a big metal basin. Like Shawali, the widows also paid their way into Pakistan. They asked their names not be used because they still have family in Afghanistan.
We gave 300 rupees per person at the border for authorities, and then 60 rupees per person for the taxi driver.
One of the widows found work as a maid. She earns exactly the 800 rupees, or about $13, the families owe in rent per month. The two widows say they fled Afghanistan because of the bombing. It's worse than the war between the Russians and the Mujahideen, they say. That took place mostly in the countryside. The Pentagon says it takes extraordinary measures to avoid civilian casualties. The new arrivals are not considered refugees by the Pakistani government, and because of this, says the UNHCR's Yusuf Hassan, they cannot receive international aid.
The majority of the refugees in this country, 2 million plus, do not receive any assistance in terms of food and other social support.
So they're forced to rely on charity from their families or a few local aid groups. Hassan says that after the Cold War, Western countries turned their backs on the Afghan refugee problem, leaving it for Pakistan and Iran to deal with. Since the airstrikes in Afghanistan began, Hassan notes, international donations for refugees are back up.
However, the Pakistani government position is that whatever the international community is willing to give is too little too late. And they say that this is a temporary interest and that they are afraid that, like in the past, they're going to be left holding the burden alone.
And that's why Islamabad has not allowed the UNHCR even to register people like Shawali or the widows. But the UN agency is quietly visiting new arrivals anyway, to get a rough sense of the numbers and needs. What they've found in the past few days is that some families are going back to Afghanistan because conditions here are too difficult. Sarah Chase, NPR News, Quetta, Pakistan.